I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FN Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, time permitting, 251-343-0106. I'll try to get to those before the conclusion of today's broadcast. Joining us now on the line, first-time guest, but very excited to have him on. He is the lead pastor at Three Circle Church over here at Fairhope. But Chris Bell joins us on the line. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm really doing well. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for making time. Thanks for hopping on. I do appreciate it. I appreciate your time and coming on this program. You know, my audience obviously very concerned and, you know, just caught off guard by what happened to Charlie Kirk. And then we'll just kind of throw it to you like this. You know, your reaction and sort of what I perceive to have been a bigger reaction to it than I could have possibly imagined.
Oh, yeah, and I think rightfully so. I mean, whenever we see, you know, my Christian faith, what I believe, what I teach is that human life is precious, it's valuable. We teach a concept at Three Circle because we believe the Bible is our authority. We understand the Bible teaches us the sacredness and the intrinsic value of human life. And so it is absolutely horrifying, and it should be. It is the rightful response of humans to be horrified and even disgusted when we see human life taken in an unjust way publicly in the way that we witnessed it last week. So the grief, the anger, all of those expressions, I think, are absolutely appropriate. In fact, people who would not respond to the very public murder and assassination of Charlie Kirk with a type of anger, grief, a pain over the injustice of it all, I would be concerned about our humanity if that was not our reaction.
Well, I think that's true. I suppose what I mean by what I say, I'm a little surprised, though. Like, this really hit people different ways, way more profoundly than I had expected. You never know what to expect. I not like game plan this in my head, you know, what would happen. But it's even different than, you know, other assassinations. And even, you know, and maybe even some ways with Donald Trump and what he had to go through during the campaign with the attempts on his life. But, you know, there has been, and I'm curious to see your reaction to this, kind of an awakening about, you know, not just necessarily Charlie Kirk himself, but, you know, the whole discourse in general.
Yeah, well, discourse is a really good term, I think, because what Charlie Kirk, what was unique about him, I think, is that he was willing to go into the public square. And, you know, it's easy to throw grenades and debate, you know, and label people behind a keyboard or, you know, in a basement, you know, on a podcast or whatever. But he didn't do that. Charlie Kirk went into the public square and he took a microphone. It's one of the most courageous things I've ever seen, to on a regular basis go in and with a microphone say, hey, we're going to talk about ideas. We're going to actually let the ideas, the concepts, go at it. And we're not going to be violent here. We're not going to tear each other down. Instead, let's talk. And for that man, I think, to be assassinated while he was doing that in the public square is why I think it's one of the reasons, not to mention the fact that he's a young man, that his family, all of the other things that are there. He's a father. He's a husband in the prime of his life, really, all those things. But I also think the fact that this was a guy who welcomed debate, which is at the very heart of our society as Americans, is that we're supposed to be able to talk and free speech and all of those things, I think, are transcendent principles. And I think it's why we have had a nationwide reaction to this in many ways.
Yeah, nationwide. But here at home, I mean, the Churchill Sunday, it was a topic of discussion. And I guess people see it, and the shock is there. And anytime anybody gets like killed in such a way in front of his wife and kids is obviously horrific. But you know, you start peeling back the layers here and you look at it, and there was a, I mean, he was firmly rooted in scripture and approached things with a, what, I guess you could describe as a biblical worldview.
Yes, indeed. And the thing about Charlie Kirk, remember, this is a young man, and we've been watching him. He's been in the public square for a long time. I think one thing that's going unnoticed is that we've watched him. He has grown in front of our eyes. His, you know, he has become more faith-centered over time. And so that's the thing. I think people are trying to go back, and which we do this with everything. We cherry pick and we go back through all everything the guy's ever said. We have to understand, this is a guy who's just now getting into his 30s, and he's been in the public square. And I personally have watched Charlie Kirk become more and more centered in his faith, matured in his faith, and in his seeing the world through that viewpoint. I would argue that he was extremely clear, and to me, he became more and more clear about what I would consider the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. And I can't imagine. I think he's one of the strongest public witnesses of the clear gospel of Jesus that we've had in a long time.
Well, I'd say this, and I've been in this conservative media sort of landscape for a while, Pastor, but you watch them come and go, and you see these figures come and go, and they, you know, they sometimes they're a flash in the pan. They become the hot thing, and then something happens personally or whatever it may be. They cash out or they go run for office, and sort of the luster wears off. But with Kirk, it was always on the ascent, and it became even more on the ascent when he adopted these values, or at least when he adopted talking about these values and how they pertain to public policy on these culture issues. And I think there's something to be said about that. There's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah, I do. And I think one thing about it, about Charlie Kirk that I will say is there was an authenticity to him. There was the guy was really who he said he was, all the way down to, you know, his private life with his family and his marriage. I mean, this is a guy who was telling an entire generation of young men about the value of marriage and about the value of having a family and following God with your life. And he was actually living it and actually celebrated it. Like he, you know, at the risk of sounding shallow with this in some way, he made it cool in a way. Like there was a whole generation of people that was watching this young man grow in his faith, lead his family. And I think all of those things added to his reach. And by the way, I think that watching, like, of course, there's been a very polarizing reaction, but there's been many on the other side of the aisle, if you will, many of what you would say were Charlie Kirk's enemies who have lauded him after his death and shown their respect and said, this is a guy who would actually talk. He would actually debate. And that's why I think some of the reaction and maybe the impact that he's had is going to be greater than we ever imagined. For those reasons, he was actually authentic. His private life seems to have aligned with his public, life. And that's rare. That is simply rare in our world that a guy would be that vocal, that brave, go into the belly of the beast day after day, and also actually live that way privately. That's a pretty powerful thing.
Well, and I'm sure you're confronted with this and you think about it and you know, but it's exactly what you said. It's that age demographic that's oftentimes very, very difficult to reach, very difficult to, find common ground or find in a way communicating.
I would argue the opposite. I would say they're not hard to reach. It's just that we've had years and years, even decades, of people who said one thing publicly and lived another thing privately. And there's a lack of authenticity. Look, I've got kids, I've got teenagers. I'm leading the church where we're trying to reach next generation. And what I see in this current generation is they can just smell a fake a mile away. And authenticity is an unbelievably strong value, I think, in the current generation that we're looking at. And I think Charlie Kirk, you know, you can agree and disagree and all of those things. But one thing about the guy is that he was authentic. This is who I am. This is what I believe. Let's talk about it. And that is a unique thing in our cultural moment.
Well, when I say that, though, hard to reach, I guess I mean it like this, that, you know, we're so, like, locked in on screens and, you know, the sure. internet and what people care about. And, you know, it's a video gaming culture or whatever it may be. And you find a lot of people just kind of get sucked into that universe. And I guess the consequence, the impact is it desensitizes people. The value of life and these things that we've had, you know, for years and years of traditions in America, that right. you get separated from that. And that becomes a challenge, I think, for the modern church.
Oh, I think so. I mean, that's very true. And of course, every age of the church, if you will, every generation of church leaders have had their unique set of obstacles to face. And this happens to be ours. I mean, we live in a technological age, to your point, where people short attention spans, you know, they move on to the next thing. And I do find that I think what Charlie Kirk did is he inspired us to think. You know, those were not just sound bites. He would sit for a long period of time with a crowd full of people in this, as you pointed out, deeply entrenched technological age, and actually have long, thought out discussions. He was a throwback in some ways. Now, he knew how to use social media, but he was a throwback to say, hey, we're going to use social media to have what we would may consider traditional old school conversations about what life's all about what our country is all about. And I think that I see that for the modern church. We should use the tools we have in our hands. I'm convinced the Apostle Paul would have used X and Twitter, and he would have used the tools that he would have now because he used them then. But what I am saying is, let's use the tools we have to not just tell the same story, the same soundbite story that everyone else is. Instead, call this whole generation back to our deep-rooted beliefs and concepts and principles as a nation, and for me, even more importantly, as the church.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's just something to be said about the means of, like, going in person, right? And talking to people one-on-one, face-to-face, whereas I guess on social media or, you know, even what I do behind a microphone where you're not, you know, confronted with the person you're debating or whatever, there's sometimes decorum gets lost in the shuffle, right? That it's easier to send off a mean tweet or a Facebook post or whatever it may be than to say that to a person. But, you know, over time, that just becomes kind of like, you know, just the standard here. And I think it does wear on people, and in their minds, they act out on it, you know, in person. And that's what we saw with Mr. Kirk.
Oh, I think that's right. I mean, it's the old adage. I think people are very courageous when they're in their car driving down the road. People will yell and, you know, throw up their hands and all this stuff. And then when you end up at the red light beside that person, you know, and all of a sudden you got to face one another, everything changes. It's hard to demonize people when you're sitting across the table from them. And in a large macro sense, Charlie Kirk invited people to the proverbial table. He really did. He said, we're going to look at each other. I'm going to talk. I'm going to set my mic down and let you talk. And I'm hoping, I really am hoping that he has inspired all of us to be able to do that more, because I think lobbing the grenades digitally at one another, as you pointed out, has lost a decorum. I think maybe even more, it's we're losing the ability to even let our ideas and values actually stand in the public square and hold their own. And Charlie Kirk believed that his ideas could hang in there, that they could win the battle. And unfortunately, a rifle and a bullet stop that. And what we're seeing, though, is that even though he's gone, his ideas and his example hopefully is going to continue, that we would continue to have these discussions and believe that we can actually talk about ideas and debate them, to your point, in a way that is civil but also clear. Now, he was civil, but he was also clear.
Pastor, we'll wrap it up on this, and you know, I'm going to steal the name of his organization, Turning Point. But I mean, you know, going forward from here, like I said, there's a level of engagement that I could not have anticipated, and I'm not trying to find a silver lining here, but I do find that people really shook by this are now coming back in our direction.
Yeah, and I would say this as well. I mean, I think that, you know, from my seat as a believer and as a Bible believing Christian, I don't believe that God takes bad situations and makes them good situations. Evil is evil. What happened to Charlie Kirk was evil, and I believe I'm called to call evil, evil, period. But I do believe that God brings good things out of bad things. And I think that he's going to do that in a million ways. One of them will be an entire generation being awakened to the fact that, hey, you can make a difference with your life, and engage, like actually get off the couch, get off the video game and engage. And for me as a man, trying to raise, I've got two sons. I'm thankful. I want to see across the board young men re-engage in life and get off the keyboards and engage in becoming the men and the husbands and the leaders in their communities that they need to be. I think that is going to be the revolution that we see on the heels of all of this.
Pastor, we'll wrap it up here, but folks want to find out more about Three Circle or anything else you're up to, how can they do so?
Yeah, you know, they can go to threecirclechurch.com and they'll find sermons and teaching. They'll find our podcast, all those things. We're a Bible believing, gospel preaching, Jesus exalting church. That's who we are. And we're excited to be that in our community. And we love this place. We love the Gulf Coast. And we're just here in our little slice of the pie trying to be faithful. That's it.
Pastor, we appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
That was Three Circle lead pastor Chris Bell. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows the secret. It's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars.
Welcome back to the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Thursday. Tomorrow on this show from Alabama Daily News and Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal, we'll hear from Todd Stacey, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, and a guest to be named later. Aldrich Slinger says a big part of the problem is parents are playing on their phone. And then Joel says, city needs to definitely vote Barbara to finish running that show over there. She'll fit in perfect. Joel with the rosy disposition as usual. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got coming up?
That Joel, he's all, yeah, sunshine and puppy dogs. Always that way.
He's one of those I got to be careful with, too.
You do. So a couple things roll out coming up on Midday Mobile. We will talk hockey in the discussion here. And, I do think things have changed from when the Mystics were here before. We'll find out the opinion of somebody who lives here because of hockey in Mobile, my buddy Jim Cox, who came to Mobile with the Mystics. And he and I are going to have a conversation starting at 12:30. I mean, he knows the nuts and bolts of hockey in Mobile. Plus Kyle Hamrick.
Whoa!
If we had Whitmire on, that'd be fun. But he won't come on with me. Kyle Hamrick, my buddy from Lanyap, will join me in hour number two. And I wanted to say this, too. I was listening to Pastor Bell. He's been on with me a couple times. I like the guy. And what he said about authenticity, about Charlie Kirk, that's kind of, he said it better than I could. That's what I've been trying to say for a week, right, is that he was the real person. Like my fear, I keep saying that they're going to push whoever the new Charlie Kirk is.
Right.
It needs to be the new whomever. It's not the new, I mean, Charlie Kirk was Charlie Kirk. That's why he was good at it. He was like the real thing, not like playing a part. So, I mean, right. That's... So I'm just worried. I see all the chatter. Who's the next Charlie? Now, how about who's the next? Right. Fill in their name. But that person.
I mean, I remember when he was submitting op-eds 10, 15 years ago to Breitbart, and he evolved over time into that role. And so, I don't know that the next Charlie Kirk is just sitting on the bench wanting to, be tagged in. But I think there could be someone over time who gets – rooted in their beliefs enough to play that role.
100%. But they will play the role of themselves, not
right.
The next, fill in the blank. Now this person, like a Mad Lib. Okay, now this is the Charlie. No, it needs to be, they need to be themselves. And I don't know who that is, but I hope they'll matriculate, through merit and come to the top of it. Also, one question before we wrap up. So you work in this building. on occasion. You know that we have testing, like board testing upstairs?
Uh-huh.
Second floor, the sign says second floor. Well, it's a 201. In the last day and a half, I've had three people ask me what floor 201 is on. Should I worry about their ability to pass their boards for whatever?
How many multi-story office buildings are there?
Yeah, but two means second floor, three means third, right? Or am I just...
No, you're absolutely right, but... Maybe it's just we live in a world where people don't go to office buildings with multiple floors. I don't know. You're absolutely right, though.
Okay. Well, I'm just
trying to give the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, that's it for me. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5.